Dark Redeemer, yes, that's on purpose. Once the show actually begins, then you'll see.
Yeah, it'll start out something like this. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 96 for Wednesday, the 28th of September, 2016. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek shit and have awesome guests on. I'm Amos, that's Kent, and in between us holding, what are you drinking right now? That's Stacy right there. What the hell are you drinking?
This is, hi, hello. I am drinking tangerine vodka and like some other concoction thing. I don't know. It's a girly drink.
Okay, there you go. That is the answer we were looking for right there. Kent, how you doing, man?
How are you guys?
Awesome.
Good.
Fantabulous.
It's great. Ritual Misery's on. That's always a good time. And we got a wonderful guest, Stacy. That's so cool.
Now
for a long time, yes. I've kind of been wanting to come on for a while, and we finally like made it work, and you're here. So
awesome. Yeah. Yay.
Now this is part one of a two-parter, though, because apparently there's a little bit of a female rivalry, because this show is just all that and some more.
This is part one. Yes.
This is the Stacy episode, followed immediately next week by the Hot Beverages episode. You better make a good showing, because she's going to have all the rebuttal. Because that's how debates work.
So for people not in the loop, last weekend I went to a Diamond Club meetup in Cincinnati, and Hot Beverages, aka Emily, was nice enough to host me for that. And she found out that Stacy was being scheduled for the show, and she's like, "Stacy's going to be on before me." I was like, "Well, you're in the lineup, but crap. Like, what do I say?" She's like, "No, this is bullshit. I'm calling Stacy right now."
Cut to 2 a.m. my time. I get a text from Emily being like, "Hey, are you up?" And then I go, and my response is, yes, what if? and then just no other text, just a phone call going basically that, you know, that she's mad at me that I'm going to be on the show and she's not yet. But anyway, I love Emily. I owe her chocolate milk, and that's the end of my, I'm not very good at this, apparently, this whole feud thing, apparently.
So that's the announcement for next week's guest. Emily will be here next week, and we'll see what she has to say about the whole situation.
I'm going to guess she has a little bit more to say
about it than me.
Exactly. So Kent, you got some little fun words being flown around, apparently.
Yeah, dude. All right. So if you were paying attention last week when we were live, we didn't do an actual episode, but we did go live. And actually for Bonnie's episode from 2 weeks ago, I was in a hotel room.
Yeah.
That's because my work sent me to somewhere in the middle of Kentucky to get some work skills. I was staying in a very cheap hotel, and I made some observations.
By your choice or by the government's choice?
Government put me in a cheap place.
Better or worse than like a Motel 6?
Well, Motel 6 at least has lights on.
Oh, the pause.
Well, it was a hotel, so it was on the inside. Like, I guess that's the delineation, right? Motel doors open to the
outside. Recently learned that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so technically it was a hotel.
Motels will typically have hourly rates where hotels will not.
Right, yeah, the motel.
If you want to go down that delineation path of hotel versus motel, the door spacing and the rating. You know, the hourly versus nightly rates.
Oh, man. So my observation, because I'm a social person. I like talking to new people and just kind of, when I used to stay in nice hotels that had bars inside them, I would call them my 5-minute friends, because I would sit down next to somebody at the bar and I would get to know them for 5 minutes. And I would try to find out as much as I could about that person in that, usually it's like more like 15, but I called them my 5-minute friends. So I tried to continue that in this crappy little hotel. to the greatest extent possible. Well, like I said, it was a really cheap place. And the clientele, I hate talking bad about people, but the standing of the clientele, or the like, the social standing or the financial standing of the clientele, would
be
less than like the hotels that I would go.
Less than affluent, if you affluent.
Affluent.
They weren't white people rich. Like, you know, maybe more than one person that didn't quite have all of their teeth.
That was a common theme.
Okay. Yeah. No, I got you. We're
another common theme. Another common theme that I observed, though, was casual racism. And I kind of noticed.
Okay, wait. Can you explain? You said casual racism?
Casual racism.
That's a new concept. Can you explain that to me?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I will explain that fully. But I've noticed, though, a correlation, though, in
The number of teeth and the casualness of the racism? Is that...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It goes hand in hand. It's kind of, it relates to, it's like an income to racism ratio.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's actually a real thing. I think that that's a statistical. I feel like this is coming out a lot more. I feel like I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I actually don't.
You know, and I hate to say it, but you know, like the more money you make, the more polite company you are typically, right? I don't know.
I don't think it's the amount of money. I think it's probably the education and the
times goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
To education is fairly together.
Yeah. I know. I have lots of friends with 4-year degrees that are working at like fucking McDonald's and shit. But well, yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. And I'm walking a thin line here because I really hate talking about. I hate saying negative things about people or generalizing about people, which.
Okay. Well, let me redirect a little bit then. I actually visited MEO this week because I made a comment at work about how you can blame everything going on. Cause right now we have a standing joke in our office. The QA likes to write us up for everything and they call it CTK program management. So basically anything that CTK touches, which is like the support function, the tools and programs and hazardous materials and everything else, it all falls under my shop and my section and therefore under me. So they come in there and they can just look at program management and they can look at any program they want because it's program management. It's not the actual program they're looking at.
Sure,
so
sure.
When they write it up, it comes against program management, which is me. And I was making a joke. Yeah, the airplane crashes, CTK program management, you know, revolution in the country, CTK program management, you know, the moon blows up, CTK program management. You know, and you can just blame the whole North Carolina thing all on CTK program management. Like, we fucked that up, too.
Of course.
Well, apparently that, saying that is a racist comment, and I had to go to MEO. Now, I understand we are discussing this as three Caucasian Americans of middle class and roughly coming up on middle age. Like... Well, right, at least me and Ken are. Stacey's a little bit younger.
Speak for yourself. I'm 20.
See?
Jackie's 20 as well.
She's 20 with her vodka. It's virgin vodka.
Yeah, virgin vodka.
So, but she's in Italy though,
right?
And it's still there.
Sure, yeah. Right. So let's just let it be known that racism is not okay. Not every comment is racist, but when they are, they're shitty and it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, so to elaborate on what casual racism is, just like a normal person would say, like, yeah, there's a car over there in the parking lot. Just as casually as that, a casual racist would say, yeah, there's an N-word over there in the parking lot.
I have a story. So I briefly, and in a second you'll understand why it was briefly, I dated a guy that... we were in the car once and we came to a stoplight and there was a woman in the car across from us and she had the right of way, but she let us go. And she was a black woman and just naturally coming out of his mouth after she did something nice for him. She basically just goes, "Oh, a N-word did something nice for once." I'm like, when somebody does something nice to you, that's your reaction? Really? Really?
That's casual it racism.
And I grew up in sort of a racist town. Not even sort of. It was a racist town. And you know, swastikas on the lockers and shit like that. And so I don't deal with that kind of shit very well. I will blow up on somebody real quick. And so the fact that it was somebody that I was dating and I didn't realize that they were like that, I was just, I walked out of the car. Like, so, I told them to pull over and I just got out of the car.
So Kent grew up in Mulberry or Mayberry, whatever the town that was.
Mayberry?
Yeah.
The first
mixed race family moved there while I was there.
No, that's not true.
No?
The second one did.
Oh. Whatever. When I got there, people called me a Mexican because I had a Spanish last name and kept asking me for my green card. Meanwhile, when I grew up, where I grew up in California, I was seen as the outlander because I was, how do we say this, Kent? I was white. So right. I was the minority where I grew up in California. So it's very interesting, different areas to live in the country, and none of it's okay. So,
Now, yay, racism, yeah, says O'Doctor. Yeah.
Speaking of racism, Stacey, you watched some BBC this week.
Speaking of racism.
Speaking of, well, oh my gosh, yeah. okay, let me.
Bunch of highfalutin white people, I guess, is what Amos is trying to imply that BBC consists of.
I was referring to the fact that she was watching some Star Trek. And talk about one of those shows that's like, in my opinion, so covertly racist. Like, everything is a racism issue in that show. They all look just like humans, except they got different color skin.
Okay, wait a second. Now, I love me some Star Trek. Picard is my man. I love him. I actually met Patrick Stewart once and ran away with my tail between my legs because I was too scared to actually talk to him. But I met him. I actually like the whole, here's the thing. You have to understand what time period Star Trek was being made, under. And first of all, it had the first female black lead that was not playing a maid or a fucking, servant in a television series, which is huge, absolutely huge. The whole reason why Whoopi Goldberg wanted to be in Star Trek was because she saw that female lead role and as a black woman and wanted to get into acting. That was the reason why she wanted to get into acting. The reason why that's the reason why she wanted to be in Star Trek so bad. Okay. So they broke down a lot of walls. It was a lot. It was a different world back then, and so the precedent was set to talk about race and all of these. And it wasn't just race. They actually touched on gender equality. They touched on sexual orientation equality. They touched on all of that stuff. And that's part of the reason why I love Star Trek so much, is because they get into all of those different things, and it's not just fucking lasers and pew 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 like shooting at each other. There's actually some context and some morality to it. So I love Star Trek, but BBC needs to stop fucking playing Star Trek for 2 months now. Oh my god, I'm done.
Oh wow,
Star Trek Overload.
Oh no, I love it, but God, please stop.
Now, are they just playing the original series, or are they playing?
It's all next generation stuff. They played the original series for a day, on the 50th anniversary, which I understand. It's the 50th anniversary. Like, that makes sense.
But a full day of the original show is, you know, 48 episodes, and there was only, what, 53 original episodes recorded, something like
that? Yeah, it was real short. Because it got canceled.
Three seasons.
Yeah. It's only three,
did you know
it's
that?
Only,
the original
only
series
seasons.
Got canceled, yeah, and then they brought it back in the 90s. Or yep. the late 80s.
Right, with TNG, which was far superior.
It was originally designed to go 5 years, because it was the five-year mission.
Yep.
Yes.
But they only made it to three because
because they had movies to make, damn it.
Because no one liked Kurt or Perkert.
Oh, yeah. Man. Hey, speaking of things that the rabbit holes that we fall down under with you know, not seeing the things we want to see, I started a little project on the internet, a little podcasting project, reached out to some podcasting groups to create a one mic show with perspectives, 10 to 15 minutes episodes. And getting a whole slew of different podcasters from all areas to come in and talk about certain subjects on a regular basis, and completely voluntary, you know, they can like submit when they wanted to. It's kind of like a news zine except podcast form, right? Shout it out
nice.
There. I expected to get like 4 or 5 people to be kind of interested. Right now, the Slack group is sitting at like 23.
Oh, like, wow!
Like my idea was way more popular than I expected it to be. So now I'm like kind of just. Running, I don't know, like, I didn't have the direction necessary for that many people. I was hoping that with a small group, we could kind of team up and really develop the idea, finish cooking it, if you will. And now I've got, right. like, 23 people going, hey, when are we doing this? Like, what's going on? Hey, give me my shit. I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Wow, man.
And well, I intentionally didn't even tell Kent about it because I wanted it to be people I did not know. I didn't want it to be a Diamond Club thing. I didn't want it to be a Frog Pants or thing or anything else. I just wanted it to be completely random, just shoot it out there and accept all comers. And holy shit. And then,
well, congratulations on being more successful than you expected.
If I now I have to worry about if I can pull it off. I don't mind disappointing 4 randos that I don't know. 20 people that are getting hundreds of thousands of downloads between them, now it's a thing.
Wow.
So yeah, a bit off a little bit more than I might be able to choose. So I'm kind of, that's my big thing this week. That's my geeky thing of the week, really. And that's kind of the big thing that I jumped into, and holy shit, like that was, I'll give you all details. I'll link to it at the end of the show, but holy crap, man, that was insane. So
yeah.
Also,
that's awesome.
Also, I started watching Stranger Things. I got about halfway through it with the wife before we had to call it quits because, holy shit. Now, we watched like the first 4 episodes or whatever, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. We had to get up at 5 to go to work. So now we're like, well, we can't watch the next one because that's an automatic 4 hours. We're going to be sitting there glued to the TV. Like, we don't have that much time.
Right. Stacey, you've seen Stranger Things, right?
I have. I saw the whole series. It's amazing. Nice. Odakta is actually the one that talked me into watching, because I watched the first episode, and right as I say that, he quit, whatever.
We stopped talking about racism, he was out of here.
he had talked me into actually, sitting down and actually watching it, because I had watched the first episode. I was like, I am not in the right headspace to be doing this right now.
Yeah, it's a special show.
So I kind of stopped. But once I got past the first episode, I was hooked. And I think I watched the whole series in like an embarrassingly short.
So, Stacey.
Like, you don't have a life.
Stacey, you're only like, yeah, like, you were born in like 2001. So you don't remember the 80s at all, right?
Are we talking for real or are we talking 20 years, Stacey? Actual Stacey. He was born in 1986. So really, I don't remember. I don't have vivid memories of the 80s, no.
Yeah. One of my strongest, most prolific memories in my brain is the Challenger blowing up. So, but we'll talk about things like that later, which happened.
Well, that was the year that I was born, so I don't
March,
remember
March of 86,
that.
Yeah. But talking
the year
about
my
things,
dreams were crushed.
Kristen McAuliffe, she's actually got her own street in our hometown of Oxford, Indiana. Speaking of things to watch, the debates were on this week. You guys watch those?
Oh, God damn. Yes.
I'm getting such good reactions from you guys tonight.
I didn't actually tune into them, but I got enough from my fucking Facebook feeds so that I did. I don't care anymore. I don't care.
There's only one thing that I want to say about it. So Lucas, my high school senior son, he had a homework assignment. He actually had two separate homework assignments for the thing. One of them was a bingo card, where if this candidate says this thing, you cross it out. This candidate says this, or either candidate says this, then you cross it out. And then the other thing was actually like, you know, what did you find to be the most interesting question? Bunch of stuff like that. But on the bingo card, when Trump sniffled for about the sixth or seventh time, he decided he was going to take a tally. Every time Trump sniffled, he would put a tally mark. He got up to, I think he made it to 25 before he was like, okay, this is getting out of hand and I'm not doing it anymore.
I like how, okay, with the whole fucking, this is what I hate about politics. And it's also what Justin loves about politics, is that we get into all these fucking side issues that have nothing to do with anything. The fact that, you know, fucking Trump sniffed a lot. Okay, the man has a fucking cold. I don't care. Even if he is doing loads and loads of cocaine, I don't care. I don't care. And then also with Hillary, with the fucking doing a close up of her ear. What is that supposed to be? Did you see that? Where they just did a fucking close up of her ear, and it's supposed to look like there's something in her ear, like she's getting fed information.
What?
It's just a fucking ear. It's her ear. It's a reflection of the light inside her ear. That's all it is. You can see that plain as day. There's nothing. There's. It's not showing you anything except her. She has an ear. That's it.
Is this the thing? This is the first time hearing
this. This is the thing. This is the thing. People are crazy. I can't stand it.
What's supposed to be in her ear? Is it like someone's feeding her information?
It's supposed to be like a little piece, like, you know, like one of those Secret Service pieces.
This is where you, Madam Secretary, this is where you should say.
No. If there's anything in her ear, the entire time it was just, don't cough. Don't cough.
Don't cough. Don't blink too much.
Don't let them have. Let them know you have pneumonia. Don't let them know you're going to die. Don't cough. Right. Don't cough. Well,
I did see a meme though that it had them on the debate stage and it had a thought bubble over Hillary that said, "Don't cough. Don't cough. Don't cough." Then there was a thought bubble over Trump's head that said, "Don't racist. Don't racist.
Don't racist. Don't racist."
This election is such a shit show, man. You got the bigot and the liar, and like. It's so insane.
It's absolutely.
I'm so
crazy.
Glad.
Election. I thought that there wouldn't be a crazier election since, you know, because Bush and Gore was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy, but like this fucking election is like there was a point in time.
Look tame.
What's that? Say that again.
It makes all of the previous ones look tame.
Absolutely.
Even the ones where they shot each other. I mean.
Right. Yeah.
There was spoiler alert, I do a podcast called Black Mirror Reflections. And so there was this one episode that was actually it's going to be next week's episode called Waldo, that is a politically charged sort of ridiculous political debate. And when I first watched that episode, it was before Trump and before we knew who the presidential nominees were going to be. And it seemed ridiculous. And now that I'm rewatching it for the second time, it seems completely fucking plausible. And that's sad. That's really sad.
Anytime anything out of Black Mirror
is less ridiculous than our actual reality.
Anything out of Black Mirror resembles reality, there's something really, really scary, because that show is amazing in that aspect.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, speaking of completely ridiculous shit, Stacey, you sent us a picture.
Yes, describe what's in this picture.
I'm going to cut to the picture now and tell us what's going on here.
Okay, so you guys sent me a show doc, and so it was, the question was, what kind of ridiculous shit did you get up to this week? And so this is the first thing that came to mind. So this is what I got up to this week. This past weekend, I hung out with a few friends of mine. And this is actually, I'll skip ahead a little bit, but I'll talk more about this later. This is actually my friend Reese, who I am slowly introducing to Diamond Club. And him and I, he has a background in radio and is a stand-up comedian. And so we are working out doing a new podcast together.
Yeah.
So it'll be super fun. We were at our friend's house and my friend had a Jake onesie. And so when you go to someone's house and you're having a good time and they whip out a fucking onesie, you wear the onesie. Like, that's what you do, right? Like, put it on.
This is where we went wrong in high school. This is why we didn't get invited back to the good parties. We weren't putting the onesies on.
Right.
And now I'm a grown-up and I can wear a fucking onesie if I want to.
That's insane. Oh, man. That's awesome.
So that was a super good time.
It sure seems like it. Hey, just a quick note from our sponsor. It's not even really a sponsor. It's just a way for us to tap a few dollars once in a while. GeekandGamerGear.com. Geek, the letter N, GamerGear.com. Cruise over there. They probably got this onesie and plenty of other Adventure Time stuff. I don't specifically remember, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm sure Kent can look it up and see exactly what they have up there. Use the code RITUALMISERY at checkout. You get 10% off. We get a little kickback as well. Everybody's happy. You get cool shit. We get a couple cents. Go make it happen. GeekandGamerGear.com. Speaking of making shit happen, Elon Musk yesterday put on an hour-long presentation. And yes, for the record, I watched the whole thing. It's why I didn't watch a TED Talk this week, because fuck TED Talks. I got so inspired by this rambling idiot on stage talking about shit that may never happen, but I was so amazed by it, and I'm ready to go. I'm in. Elon Musk is amazingly rich. Just where do I put my money?
Stop.
It's not that he's amazingly rich, it's that he has a plan that makes sense. But go ahead, Ken.
I want to clarify, what, Amos, what do you mean by rambling idiot?
This was like Apple style. This was like professional.
It was not a practice speech. He was going ad lib the entire time with his slides. It was not a professional. This is highly practiced, highly performed. It was a very human moment. And by rambling idiot, I mean that in the complete, most sincerest, dearest form. I enjoyed it. I thought it was an actual, like, no shit. He was going up there and trying to hold back his excitement on how amazing the ideas and the concepts were.
And also, like, the man's on his, what, fifth insanely successful company? Like, and he's a fucking genius.
Hey, I got an idea.
And he's probably one of the smartest people of our generation. Like, and he's supposed to be a good public speaker. I think you're asking a little bit too much.
Oh no! I was hoping, like, if he had been really practiced and like Apple-like and you know, if he'd been reading off a slideshow, I'd have just been pissed.
He'd be suspect, right?
You know?
Come off as disingenuous.
Yeah, no, it was. It could have been practiced the way that it was, but I don't care because he sold me. I'm in. What do you think, Kent?
Yeah, well, okay. Just to hit real quick on what you were saying about his the way that he performed his speech, we were actually just talking about this earlier today, that it could either be that, you know, he was nervous because he was making this hour long big presentation. It could have been, like you said, he wasn't practiced, and or it could be like that's just how he talks. You know, I don't know. I haven't watched.
Interviews with him, and he's kind of a soft spoken dude. Like, he's not
used to getting up in front of 1,000 people and talking. Yeah. For an hour.
That's kind of how
I attributed it.
This was a 12-year-old giving a speech to all his parents and teachers and friends about how he's going to make his dream come true.
Yep. And I drew the exact same conclusion.
It was amazing. And like I said, I'm sold.
Look, like, guys, guys.
What was the timeline that he gave?
2023 would be the earliest possible opportunity, and more likely about 10 years from now, so 2026 would be the next rendezvous with Mars. So we're looking, we're actually looking really, really short, and the feasibility, the earliest window of feasibility for having a colony, a self-sustaining colony on Mars would be 40 years from now up to about 100 years from now.
Okay, so I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to preface this question with the fact that you are not going to likely be coming back, obviously. Life will start anew on this new planet. It will be hard. It will be really, really hard because we need to start a new society. And starting a new society is not an easy task. And starting it, you know, I think he said 100 to 200 people at a time. Like, that's not that many people to start a society with. Mm-hmm. Would you go?
Oh,
money out of the question. Let's say you get, because he mentioned in their sponsorships.
Yeah,
so
people getting sponsorships.
That is a possibility. And $200,000. I mean, that's not a huge amount to raise. People raise that for charity all the time.
Yeah,
right.
So, would you go?
I would.
I'm gonna save my answer, but you guys.
Go. I would go to visit. I don't want to, at least at this point in my life, or like what I envision my life to be 5 to 10 years from now, mm-hmm. I don't want to go colonize another planet. I don't want that to be what I do with the second half of my life. However, if I could go there to visit, like let's say it's a 5-year thing, like I'll be back on Earth in 5 years. 5 to 10 years from now? Yeah.
Right? See, okay. No, I'm kind of the opposite. If I wouldn't go by myself. I would go if I were married and maybe had a child that was old enough to understand, you know, what we're doing and what their life is going to be once they get there. I would go with a pre-existing family. Because, you know, obviously when you go to a society where there's only 100 people, like the chances of you fucking meeting somebody are slim to none. Oh. So I would definitely, I would go with a family unit, if at all. I would not go by myself because that would be far too lonely. I wouldn't be able to deal with just, you know, my day-to-day life, being on this strange planet, which I'm sure that there's going to be an adjustment period of just missing home, missing when you look up and, you know, and seeing a different sky than what you're used to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a different landscape, and the dirt is a different color and the sky is a different color. And, you know, we're in a different position in our galaxy, so the stars are all different, and so it's just that you know, that constant reminder that you're not home. I would want someone with me that would remind me of home or make me feel like I'm home.
Right. So how terrible would it be if you go with your pre-existing family and mm-hmm. shit don't work out, like you find out that is a
couple. I feel like then I would be in the same boat as if I had gone alone. But at least I made the effort to be able to bring people that I love. And also, if I have a child there, like, I'm not going to break up with my fucking kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
you'd be surprised. Is a closet racist?
What's that? Say that again.
Even if you find out that your child is a closet racist.
And who do you blame?
I mean, I'm the one that raised him, so I feel like that's highly unlikely.
You're a closet racist.
You find out you're a closet racist.
I'm a closet racist? Well, that would be quite shocking. I'd probably break up with me at that point.
Left hand, stop talking to right hand. My answer is kind of a bell curve. 18-year-old me would be gone in a heartbeat without a second thought. Just gone. Peace out.
Yep.
See ya.
Yep.
39-year-old me, the one that you see in front of you now, not a fucking chance. Not in my wildest dreams. I want to see my kids grow up to have kids. I want to see things. Right. Ask me in another 19 years. 19 years from now,
Grandpa.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Sign me up. Put me in the casket and send me off to space. And let me stay there and live out my days growing potatoes out of my own poop. I'm okay with it then. Like, I will have lived my own life, you know? But right now, not a chance. There's not a chance between now and the next 20 years. Not going to happen.
I feel like my answer is completely opposite from yours. Again,
Part of it is that I struggle to bring my wife to South By. Like, I struggle to get her to come to South By. So there's no way I'm getting her to go to Mars.
That's fine. Yeah, and that's the other thing is that it needs to be completely 110% decision between the two of you. And I don't know if I'm at 110%. I know that I would seriously consider it. But again, it's that thing of like, I'm an anxious person to begin with. Like, I'm as boisterous and as loud as I am when I'm doing stuff like this. Like, I'm actually quite quiet and reserved in my daily life. And so, you know, that whole thing of like, I don't know if I'd be able to deal with living on another planet. Like, that's, I can't even imagine what my daily life would be like.
Yeah.
That is something that I think I would be my biggest reservation with that.
To me, when I try to picture myself going to another planet and like you're saying, just everything is just so different and not anything like what you're used to. I just think a deployment.
Yep.
A military deployment, being in a place like Iraq in a war zone on a base somewhere. Your day-to-day, like, it is not even close to what, you know, life like we're used to.
The amount of work that it's going to take, because you have to build everything.
Right.
Everything. And you're going to be living in the fucking Stone Ages for a while, because you're not going to have the technology that we're used to having every day, because all of that shit needs to be built. And that's the other thing, is that what kind of people are they going to be sending there to start off, you know? I mean, we need people that know how to do things. We need people that are experienced in physical labor as well, but we also need fucking engineers and people that know how shit works. I don't know how to set up a fucking, you know,
you don't know how shit works
system or anything like that, or an electrical system or anything like that. I have no idea how any of that works. So we need people, you know. I work customer service, for God's sakes. Like, that's going to be fucking useless on Mars.
speaking of not knowing how shit works, Kent, you actually went to visit another podcast.
Me?
No, Kent.
Me. A couple of times, actually. Since we last had an episode, I've been on two other podcasts. So the Diamond Club meetup that we did in Cincinnati that Emily hosted. Well, she hosted me, and then we actually went to someone else's house for the actual meetup. And Chris and Brittany, oh my God, forgetting their last name now. But anyway, a couple of Diamond Clubbers, Chris and Brittany, we went to their house, and they and a couple other people have a beer podcast. It's called Have a Drink. And they were recording an episode of their show that night, and as part of it, because in Cincinnati, they were having their Oktoberfest celebration. They did a beer tasting with flights of Oktoberfest beers. And I got to participate in that tasting. And even though my name wasn't actually said on the show, I did provide some commentary for, you know, some tasting notes and things like that on the beers. But I was one of like 20 people in that place. But it was a ton of fun. Got to meet a lot of really cool people. It was a lot of fun to be on the show. Of course, the beers were great. More recently, though, just the other day, I was on Jackie Hearn's new show, What's Cooking. her episode one is out and available that she did with Roberto Villegas. It was a pretty cool episode, and I was honored to be the second guest on the show. So I'm hoping that comes out sometime soon. I don't know if it's going to be out this week or if it's going to be out next week, but you can catch me on that. It's called What's Cooked.
It'll be out whenever Jackie Damo pleases.
Exactly. Exactly. Jackie does it when Jackie wants to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Stacey, you're not exactly new to the podcasting world yourself. I was looking at StaceyBaldwin.com. Like, you got your own little namesake, your eponymous website and stuff with all kinds of guest episodes.
I look a lot more
there.
Professional than I actually am. I feel like that's the game in this whole industry, right? You just look better than you actually are. I started this year, actually. I started, and Jackie was actually the first. I was on That Time of the Month was the first thing that I ever did, and I kind of caught the bug there, and just continued to do other things. So far so good. I love it so far. So yeah, it's been a good time.
We've both been on with Jackie. We've had Jackie on this show, and Jackie has a show called This Time of the Month. I'm going to get that right one of these days.
That Time of the Month.
It's That's Time of the Month.
I believe it's currently on hiatus.
It's code for period. I'm
like punctuation.
It's code
that
for punctuation.
It's code.
Okay. So she hosts the show with Crunchy, and Crunchy sent you this. Now you're just giving us all kinds of fun stuff.
She didn't send it to me individually. She actually has no idea what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell her about it. And it'll be hilarious. She posted this on Facebook, and I just thought it was fucking ridiculous. And I thought I'd ask you guys if you would do the same thing. So basically, I guess the store, the manager, whoever, thought of the ingenious idea to store all of their cash, like $5,000 worth, in a fucking pizza box. And so one of the drivers understandably picked up the pizza box and walked out the door with it with an order and delivered it to this lady, and she opened it up and it's like $5,000 in cash. And she like worked really hard. Like, she called the restaurant and said, hey, I need to speak to your manager like ASAP. She didn't want to tell them that, you know, I have $5,000. Do you want to come and take it from me? Because the delivery guy is going to be like, sure. So she called and the manager never called her back. So she called corporate and like.
Well, she called the news.
I would not have got. I will tell you right now. I am not that good of a person. I am not. I would not have that. I would not have gone through all that. I would have called once, and had they not called me, guess it's foreseen. I'm keeping the money.
I had a few thoughts when
they
I read
don't
this.
Want it.
I had a few thoughts when I read this earlier. One, she had to go to the local Fox affiliate to have them get a hold of corporate to go back down to the manager. So obviously, this Domino's is making enough money. They don't need fucking $5,000, okay? Two,
right?
This is clearly a drug drop. I don't care what anybody says.
This is totally a
driver.
That it was just like the till.
This is Breaking Bad in you know, this is just a fucked up Breaking Bad. That's so. Would I keep the money? No, because that's the only thing going through my mind. Is
maybe that's it. Maybe she's not that good of a person. She just didn't want to go to prison.
And third, my third thought. How cold are your fucking breadsticks that you're taking out to customers that you don't know a stack of bills from the fucking breadsticks? Like, how are you making this much money?
Yeah.
You know, I think that my only reservation about keeping the money would have been my paranoia of getting caught. I would have been all about keeping the money until I went to bed that night. and I, that's all I would think about. Like, oh shit.
Yeah, but yeah, what if you did do anything illegal?
I wouldn't
somebody
have had a problem.
You cash.
I wouldn't have had a problem at that point because if I'd gone to bed, the money was already spent. Like, that money is not making it to morning.
Wait, so what are you spending? Wait, hold on. This opened up a whole new can of worms. What are you spending the money on in one night?
5 G's lands in my pocket, and that shit, I'm going to Walmart. I'm getting one of those little credit card things right off the bat. Load that shit up.
Okay.
That's a trip to Hawaii for me and the family. We're gone. Like, that money disappeared in no time flat. Within an hour of me deciding I'm not going to spend the money.
I'm thinking, like, he's getting piles of cocaine. Oh, no. He's getting drank. He's getting, like... He's just going to do, like, the best party ever.
No. I'm going to surprise the wife with the trip back home to Hawaii. You know how late I'm going to be for that? Like, that's like a year investment in laidness right there. I'm good. Like, stay up.
Oh, my God.
Stay up late until 5 o'clock in the morning before you got to go to work on an important day and still... get laid that night after playing video games till 5 o'clock in the morning. That's the level
that's
what I'm talking about.
That's like morning blowjobs. That's a whole realm of laid that you probably have experienced in a while being married.
So if I'm going to spend the money, like if that thought is even like registered in my brain, other than the drug dealers, if I've even halfway moved past the drug dealers, trip to Hawaii, doom, dumb. That's it. Done. That money's gone. So. Sorry to bust your bubble, but that shit's gone. There's no money left.
Oh, hey, man. So, Stacey, while we were looking at all this stuff, I looked up on geekandgamergear.com, and they do have a line of Adventure Time products to include a plush Adventure Time Jake.
I'm telling you.
Only $7.
Geek and Gamer Gear.
No, I want a onesie. I want to be Jake. I don't want a whole Jake. I want to be.
Well, you know, I mean...
When she said BJ, I heard something else.
Yeah. you gotta solve these issues off air, Stacey. We can't handle that on this show.
But there is a lumpy space princess beanie. I think that's the only clothing article that's in here for... There's a BMO beanie.
It's less about Jake, and it's more about the fucking onesie. Yeah. Like, the onesie is... Have either of you actually ever worn a onesie before?
Not in my adult life.
Yeah, not in my lifetime
I lived in one as a kid.
You're missing out. You are. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. It's you can't help but like fucking dance. And like I just it's awesome. It's amazing. Wear a onesie. Just once. Just do it. I don't care if you don't have to be in front of other people. Just do it for yourself.
So is the diaper amazing? Is the diaper optional?
The diaper.
Is the what?
Is the diaper optional?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, hopefully. you can Holy wear clothes shit. Underneath. You don't have to wear just the onesie.
All right. So I'm gonna bring it back in a little bit. I found something that I found was just amazing. I was surfing Reddit. I was doing some things. I was posting about the little show that I talked about earlier, trying to get drum up a little bit of support. Apparently, I'm pretty good at that. And I came across this. Now, I'm going to share this with you guys. And I don't care what the Reddit says. I just want you to look at the Venn diagram. That's right. Right, Kent? Like, I'm not fucking that up.
Yes.
Venn diagram?
Yep. Venn diagram.
That is, in fact, a Venn diagram. Yes.
Look, I got kids, man. Like, the brain cells left a long time ago. I'm so glad my password is masked right there. So it's got a Venn diagram for the listeners of atheism, communism, and gay culture. And so atheism plus gay culture equals destruction of morality. The communism plus gay culture equals homosexual equality. The atheism and communism equals mandatory godlessness. And where they all come together is the homo socialist church. The Homo Socialist Church. I'm not even sure I can weigh that on my mind and fully understand that.
I don't. I. What?
When this I clicked on this link, Amos, I completely glossed over the Venn diagram when I was researching for the show earlier, and I just all I read was the like the Reddit topics mm-hmm. or the mm-hmm. whatever you call it, and I was like, what the fuck? What can he possibly have to say about this site that's just full of hate?
I don't.
I'm done. Click X.
This I'm bringing this up because this is why you do not hit the random button on Reddit.
Was it just like two or three weeks ago you said yes, hit the random button because that's the best thing ever?
Yes, I don't care.
I don't care. I take back everything I ever said. Don't do it. Don't do it.
So there's that. There's your weekly dose of just
there's
complete retarded
week.
Right there. Oh man. So okay. Stacey, why don't you tell our folks where they can find more of you?
They can find more of me on the Twitters. I am at StaceyBee23. That's StacyBee23. Or you can go to my website. My website is, oddly enough, it's StaceyBaldwin.com. So I post everything that I'm doing. I try to update it as frequently as possible. So if you like all my stuff, or you can always catch me in the Diamond Club in the chat room, usually.
IRC.chatrealm.net.
Yay!
Yay! That's what it is.
All right. Kent, me and you, we finally finished it. We finally got it put together. We finally drew enough answers out of Stacey to create our Stacey Lives.
Yes. Yeah, so tonight, we have been playing Ritual Liberty.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I was not warned about I just wanted to be known I was not warned about
so,
this. What
so
is
all,
this?
All you're doing right now is admitting that you don't watch the show. It's okay. We don't either.
So we have been secretly selecting words spoken throughout the show. The words might have been answers to questions or simply just a word that stood out to us that we liked. And we've been plugging those words into a document that auto-filled into a story.
Look, this show is at least a little bit about geekiness, and I don't know many people that have a stack of actual no shit Mad Libs to go through with their guests. So
that makes up for not ever wearing a onesie.
Having a stack of 40 Mad Libs just to use whenever you want. Okay, so Kent,
yeah.
I believe you were going to start us off on this this venture through Ritual Liberty.
Right. All right. So I'm going to play the part of a moderator, and you are going to play two characters.
Yes.
Okay. Right?
All right. So, all right. I am the moderator at a political debate.
In response to this week's events, of course.
Right. Good evening, ladies, N-words, and candidates. Each candidate will have 23 minutes to sniff and 25 seconds for rebuttal. After that time, you will not be able to build. Our first question goes to candidate number one. Describe your views on shit show reform.
I believe that the choice of a Diamond Clubber should be given back to the American podcasts. I say, let the people make shit work.
Candidate number two. Would you like to grow potatoes with your poop?
My opponent would like you to believe that he is being racist. But in fact, we would need a $100 increase in drink taxes in order to fund his plan. Once again, he is space traveling to the real pizza box.
Thank you, candidates. And now a few words from our onesies.
I always love seeing our guest reaction to these things because they don't see him being built or anything else. It's completely secret and private just between me and Kent. I fucking love it. So there you go. That is this week's Ritual Liberty.
Yeah, this is, I think, the fourth, fifth time we've done it. It's a fairly new bit that we've done. But it has been so successful.
That's pretty fucking awesome. That is awesome.
Has reacted basically the same as you.
Hey, this is wonderful.
And none of them listen to the show, so none of them know what's actually happening.
I but I'm not because it made it two is better.
All right, man. We've got some people to thank, man. We've got some patrons. We added some patrons recently. So awesome. $1 a show. Even if you cap it off at $1, we don't give a fuck. It looks good on the page. Make it happen. Thank you so much to those. First of the month is next week, right? So next week we're actually going to start naming off our patrons. So get in on that shit now so you can have your name blasted out on this podcast that like 5 people listen to. Which is awesome because we have 10 patrons. Whatever. So, Kent, man, where can people find more about you?
At @RM_DelNoche on Twitter. You never know what I am going to put there. So go follow me. Check it out. If you're a beer person like me, go to ratebeer.com and look up username Del Noche. And you can read my 500-plus reviews.
Please tell me you're going to put shit like this on your Twitter, man. Like, we got to have some shit like this on Twitter.
That's the sort of thing that I might retweet or comment on.
Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at Ethan Kane. That's pretty much the only social media thing that I have time for because this show right here sucks up everything that I have. Dark Redeemer just threw a link in the chat room. Appreciate that so much, Dark Redeemer. You can follow this show. You can get more information about this show, other shows we're doing, projects that we have publicly released, because we're both working on side shit all the time. You can even buy t-shirts and everything else, ritualmisery.com. You can go to ritualmisery.com/swag and look at all of our cool t-shirts. We still have the stuff on there from Austin about all the anal stuff that we did there. And, of course, we're still in beta, so you can still get that shirt.
Limited time only.
I think Ken just lost it.
I was just showing the back of the shirt.
Sure.
Still in beta.
Oh, okay, my gosh. All right, you can follow the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery. Submit ideas on our subreddit, our underused subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us podcast at ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Of course, you can find all these links and more ways to support the show at ritualmisery.com. Thank you so much to Kev McLeod for allowing us to use your music for both the intro and the outro. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for Stacy, for me, and for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And that is a show, ladies and gentlemen, coming in at 57 minutes. Like, it's a miracle we made the time.
Awesome. Welcome to the post-show. Holy crap. Stacy, thank you so much.
That was fun. Can we do it all over again?